The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So thank you so much for this morning of practice together. What a treat. The stillness in the room is palpable. Thank you for your contribution. So samatha, stillness, settling, calm, our theme for the day. I came to find that there are literally in hundreds of places in the Buddha's teaching, our dear friend mindfulness has a companion quality, and that companion is samatha. And that these two together, when they're in balance, lead to so many of the fruits of practice. Pretty remarkable. So knowing that mindfulness gets a lot of airtime, I thought, well, why don't we talk about this other one? So we can bring them into balance together, where they can nourish each other. So there are a variety of ways into samatha, stilling, calming. Some of them are direct. Some of them are maybe from the side. One of the benefits of our mindfulness practice is that it actually generates a sense of stillness, a sense of calm. Samatha sounds very closely related to samadhi, which we talk about as concentration or collectedness. They are related, but they have different roots. Turns out that samadhi is about unification. It's about bringing things together. And then samatha is their stilling, their calming. The way I like to illustrate this is, if you imagine dewdrops on a leaf, and the dewdrops start to run down together into the rib of the leaf, when the dewdrops are coming together, that's like samadhi. They're unifying. And then when that unified dewdrop comes to the lowest part of the leaf and comes to stillness, that is samatha. So they're related. They're related, but you can sense the subtle difference between unification and then the sort of calming, settling, stillness. One thing that's interesting about samatha is that in the teachings, the verb associated with it, Bhikkhu Bodhi translates as devoted to. One is devoted to internal serenity of mind. But the Pali language is so rich that there are a couple of aspects to this sort of devotion. One is an active aspect, and one is something else. The active aspect is we can engage in samatha. We can engage in practices that bring it about. We can engage in our mindfulness practice. We can engage in our practice of sila, our practice of ethics and the precepts. It's pretty classically known that sila is a basis for concentration developing. This hypothesis that I'm nursing right now and will continue to investigate and invite you to investigate is that when we're following the precepts of not harming, say, not taking life, not taking what isn't given, not harming with our sexuality, speaking the truth and not intoxicating, these admonitions for our ethical life in the Dharma. When we're following these precepts, we're actually taking the simple road. It's interesting to think of a refraining from an action as like the simple road, but if you could just imagine the complications that come into one's life, say if you speak dishonestly, if you speak the truth, who is it who said if you speak honestly, you have to remember less to remember? It's not quite the quote, but it's something like this. You have to keep track of this and that. It's much more simple to speak the truth. And then the other precepts follow. following them, we bring simplicity into our life rather than complication. So our sila is one way into samatha. Another is the meditative practice of keeping things simple. In the technical jargon, we call this sense seclusion, keeping our reactions simple. Sense seclusion sounds like isolating the sense doors so we don't come into contact with anything. And there's a reasonable measure of that. When we do our meditation, we come to meditation halls. We make our best effort to be in an uncomplicated environment. But the heart of sense seclusion actually isn't having no vision, no ears, no sensations in the body. Sense seclusion is staying secluded from complicated reactions. Particularly those reactions that are unwholesome or harmful. If, say, we have a... Say we had sat down to sit for the day and construction had started outside. We've got the jackhammers going. I've totally had this happen. Sit down for a full... Oh, this is a great one. I'm in San Francisco for a full day sitting, and little did we know, it's Fleet Week. And here come the Blue Angels. All day. It was amazing. So, sense seclusion, we offered earplugs. That's not sense seclusion in the technical sense. Sense seclusion is to stay very close to the ear, monitoring the ear door, and when the sound comes across the sky, to watch for the arising of the impulse of aversion. I don't want this. Oh, it shouldn't be here. I'm going to write a letter to the whoever. Or the impulse to craving. Oh, I wish for a quiet place. Or the impulse to delusion. Oh, just tune this out. I'm not going to pay attention. Sense seclusion is to stay close to the origin of those reactions and then let them go as early as you can. And that keeps something in us secluded from the unwholesome response. And step by step, doing this repeatedly, this allows the mind to calm, to settle. This is the mind of, oh, I don't have to get involved with that. I can just stay still. I don't have to react in a complicated way. So that leads us in. That's one of the ways that mindfulness leads us into stillness. So sila, sense seclusion. And then the last one is, I'll say for this morning, is... erring on the side of simple perceptions. So take the case of breath meditation, where we set our attention on the breathing, and we might choose just a couple of simple ways of focusing, knowing the in-breath as an in-breath, knowing the out-breath as an out-breath. Any other mental activity? It's kind of extra. In, just no in. Out, just no out. Or a variation. If it's a long breath, know it's a long breath. If it's a short breath, know it's a short breath. Very, very simple. It seems maybe too simple. But it's actually, despite its seeming simplicity, it's actually doing something very powerful to the mind to both stay awake and clear and to allow the mind to refrain from complicated perception so it can gather. And all of a sudden the dewdrops are all gathering and settling down. So these are some of the ways we can engage in serenity. And then the other side of serenity is the other side of this word, being devoted to. It calls to mind for me something of the heart quality involved in much of Buddhist practice, but... is very easy to apply to serenity once there's a little taste for it. So I hold it more as a reflective question. How can we express our devotion to the practice of serenity? How do we express our commitment to serenity? What are the sort of choices we can make that help keep things simple for us? and support our calm. And this is a practice of careful watching. This is your agency, square in the middle of Buddhist practice. So watch your experience. Watch what we're doing that leads us away from what we want. Watch what we're doing that leads us toward what we do want. Maybe in closing, there's a real beauty to the unified mind, the still mind. And whether it comes through the pathway of mindfulness or through the pathway of what are called samatha practices, a mind that's unified, a mind that's settled and still, I want to say it puts an end to the dispute within. It makes our heart a place not of conflict, but a place of peace. It's part of the promise of the practice that I find pretty inspiring. So samatha and mindfulness, they work together. And I'll say, quote some words from the Dhammapada to finish our day that talk about how these two work with each other and what they make possible. There is no meditative absorption for one without insight. There's no insight for one without meditative absorption. With both, one is close to nirvana. For a practitioner with a peaceful mind who enters an empty dwelling, aka meditates, and clearly sees the true Dharma, there is superhuman joy. May that be so. So thank you so much for this day of practice together.